Good morning. Today is Wednesday, July the 15th, tax day for 2020. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor, Mr. Rex Bone. Long time no see, stranger.
Hang on, I got to call my CPA and ask for an extension.
Yeah. I'm sure that there are plenty of folks, because normally, you know, when you do the extension, you're out there through the middle of October. So, you know, we'll see. Yeah. We shall see. Winston, do you have our Why Do We Say That?
Let's try that again with the mic on. Shanghai. What is the reason we use the word Shanghai to mean kidnapping a man for our ship's crew?
I would suspect because that's where they used to take him. He runs to the Orient. How about you, Rexy? You got any idea?
I would be, it was in the old days, that's exactly what I was thinking. It was they would Shanghai, and then it got to the point they'd use that for any type of anything that was taken against its will or against its purpose. So you'd Shanghai up somebody's business deal, you'd Shanghai kind of, that's my guess.
All right, let's see how close you were.
No.
No?
It's because British sailors so treated were likely to find themselves shipped out on a long voyage to a distant port. And since Shanghai was on the other side of the world, they used the name of this port to represent any distant place.
Ah, so it wasn't taking, it was being sent.
Getting sent.
Yeah. Well, I think we can all sympathize on that one on a whole bunch of levels, huh?
Yeah.
Same
thing we do to our dogs when we take them to the vet.
Right, yeah. And kids to the doctor. Hey, how's it going out at the ballpark? Are you guys able to kind of keep that thing together? Is it being able to be used by anybody at all?
Well, and you know the good thing, and good and bad, Humboldt Youth Soccer is canceled for the year. Eureka Youth Football is waiting till the end of the month. I see some of the leagues down south have canceled. I see some of the big football leagues are only going to play within their conferences, so they'll have limited schedules. So I don't know where it's headed. If there's any bright spot at all that, you know, Redwood Fields is now 21 years in operation. We're getting ready to redo the sprinkler system and upgrade the sprinkler system and just kind of level some of the places that have settled out because it was a stump forest with 800 stumps taken off when we built it 26 years ago. So we're going to be able to do some upgrades because the biggest problem is as soon as baseball is over, you got three more weeks, then soccer practice starts. So you never have that break, so except in the middle of winter, which you really can't plant grass in. So we're gonna do some upgrades this year. So I may be hitting people up for money, but besides that, we'll just upgrade a little bit, put another 20 years in, let another 20 years of community use take place.
Yeah, I didn't know if some of the summer league were taking advantage of it with baseball or the softball games, just because there's certainly enough place if somebody wanted to do the separation thing, like maybe 6 yards instead of 6 feet. You got ample space to be able to pull that off. I just didn't know if the facility was being utilized or not.
Well, and just so you know, we a couple indoor gyms had used it and spread out quite a bit. One of the gymnastics, just to keep their kids limber, took their mats out there and used it a few times and did all their social distancing because, you know, even though we're not getting a lot of community transmission, it's a lot of this is family-borne, not getting, you know, so we're being separated out in the open, we're finding out probably the best thing. Being jammed into a room with a lot of people is a bad thing. So, and that's just my 0 years of medical experience talking there, but I just think if you take a look, you can see where things are happening and not happening. So, we did that. I think there is going to be a baseball camp next week out there, so some kids can get some baseball. I have been so adamant about my biggest fear is all the old people like me and the kids, because whenever we give a report on the COVID, it's we give the total of how many people we've had. We've had 159. Well, that's over 5 months now, so that's not a lot. It's getting not getting any better, but and then we don't give a total of, I mean, how many people are actually sick now, and that numbers, and I mean, how many people are in the hospital? We don't know that. We can kind of guess by the numbers we get. So I tend to lean on the positives that everybody's doing, because there's a lot of people making a lot of sacrifices for a lot of people other than themselves, obviously, to keep everybody safe. And I think that they should be lauded for it and being told they're doing a good job. And so I'm pretty happy with that. And I think kids need to get out and be kids. This is the most formative years they have.
Yeah, they're getting out. Well, that's one of the arguments I know that the schools are dealing with also, is not only is there a loss of learning opportunity and retrenchment backwards, or regression rather, but that lack of interaction, you know, the group learn, so to speak, is a challenge. So I guess it just is kind of intriguing, but it's cool that the facility is being utilized by some folks rather than just sitting out there and you and a couple of other guys that don't have a life on Saturday mornings drive around on the lawnmowers and have some fun and a couple of giggles.
Yeah, I can tell you, the grass doesn't know that there's a COVID delay, because it's growing. All the other normal things, we're still watering the grass. I've cut back a little bit on the water, because water is an expensive factor during the summer out there, and we have some assets and we have some monies. We do, you know, we charge minimal for the leagues to play out there, but it does offset the water costs and things like that. We're very fortunate that we have a couple cellular towers out there that pay rent to the facility that kind of underwrite all the charges that we have to charge the youth to play out there. It is expensive to take care of, but if we're going to keep it up and keep it safe for the kids to use, that's what we have to do.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, you mentioned the COVID numbers, and I tend to come from a point of view that not a lot of people do, and and that's probably wise for the entire community. But when we hear about the number of positives, have you had anything from the DHHS or the folks that track this stuff? You'd mentioned you don't know how many have had to go into the hospital and do the ICU, but do you know how many have, of that 159, 160, whatever the number is at the moment, how many are asymptomatic and how many are really experiencing the symptoms?
I don't. I mean, I think it's a positive. It's using that word positive. I think it's good. We've had a total. We've had 10%. It's actually got to about 10% of the numbers now have been hospitalized, but we've been stuck on the 16 number for quite a while. So I don't know if there's any in the hospital now or not. Other counties give us that breakdown. We haven't got to that point yet. And so I don't know. I do, unfortunate enough to know a few people that have caught it, and some have been fairly, sick, but not over the top. And then a few have been extremely sick and were hospitalized. So it is, I don't want to catch it. I don't want to stop living either, but I don't want to catch it. And I want to be as safe as possible for everybody involved. But I mean, it is a virus. I don't think we're going to be able to ride this out until it goes away. Cause I think it's going to be here. You hear people say 2-3 years and that's coming from, not internet experts, but actually doctor experts.
Yeah. And because it is so fluid, and the knowledge and the interpretation of the information is so fluid also, And then also how it's being reported. I mean, there was one reference that was made. If you did it on number of cases per million, per 100,000 or something like that, some of these states that are being highlighted right now wouldn't even hardly register because their rate is 50 per, a fifth of what it is, let's say, for New York or for Delaware. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, how the facts are then played around, that gets into that political arena. Are you comfortable going around and doing, because you're kind of out and about and pretty readily available to a lot of folks. What is the sense that you're getting as far as feedback out in the community, either to your showing up and people's reactions because they know that you're out and about all over the place, or just their feedback that, you know, how are they feeling?
I think the biggest thing we're dealing with is frustration, and then the other, you know, huge part of this is there's two ends of this spectrum. It's the lack of information, and it's too much information, and it's the CDC 2 months ago saying no masks, and then they're telling us that was because there was a shortage on masks and they didn't think it was as important, and now they're saying masks do make a difference. I'm seeing a lot more things saying masks don't make a difference, but everybody is putting on the what they said 2 months ago and hanging their hat on it. And I'm not going to be the mask police. If you can't wear a mask, that's fine. If you don't feel comfortable, that's fine. But be appropriately aware for our vulnerable population when you're around them, to show them the respect they do and be able to at least keep your distance if you're not going to wear one. But there is a mandate, and I mean I you hear about the constitutional rights and everything else and the frustration with a lot of people, but I think it's the lack of information and the overflow of misinformation and the ever-changing level of information we're getting. And the reason I think we're seeing the same organization move this is because this is a new virus, disease, however you want to classify it, and they're finding more and more about it every day. And so I just think we have to do this somewhat carefully and to the best of our own judgment, and then go through all the information and balance it all out to where we should be.
The changing landscape with it, I think, is, as you indicated, you know, is frustrating because you're told to turn left today and then tomorrow you're told to do something different, and it's just the lack of consistency as the information continues to develop and to be refined and to be understood. And then you got the political overtones across the board with all of that as well. How have your buddies in the RCRC? I know that there's one county in the state that just basically said, get away from us, and they haven't had cases even reported in that county, but they're so very rural and so very sparsely populated that, okay, it's not much of a factor. But your buddies in the other rural counties, are they experiencing similar to what we have been experiencing, or are they more along the lines of San Bernardino and Los Angeles counties?
Well, you know, I got a good friend, Supervisor Kelly, down there in Imperial County, and you got to remember who they border with, and
right.
they have had mass results.
They're getting drilled right now, yeah.
What's that?
They're getting drilled right now.
It's. I think what they called it is it's a. They've got tents in their county hospital parking lot to handle the surging cases. I've been talking to Mike, and they're just getting nailed. And it's just terrible for them down there, and they are, you know, I think they're the largest county out of 58, I think, or one of the top ones. But they're, and they've got a population of about 175, 180,000 people, and they're just getting drilled. So,
yeah, different places to different levels, certainly. KINS,
yeah.
News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokeybear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Rex Bone. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Rex, considering some of the different challenges and the fluidity of what's going on, you guys have had the budget you've had to worry about. You've had contingency budgets you've had to be concerned with, contingency funds, not knowing where dollars are going to go, all that kind of stuff. How are you looking at the next 3 or 4 months as far as a supervisor, not as a budget ace, but just as a supervisor, and how the county is going to be able to do what the county normally does?
Well, we're going to, you know, and what it is everybody's going to have to take a haircut. There's just no way around it. We're going to, you know, we're looking at, you know, 5, 7.5, 10% cuts, you know, to all the departments so we can provide the services and still provide services to the people that deserve them and need them. And, you know, I mean, there's certain things we can do. I mean, as supervisors, I mean, we could cut our travel budgets and our salaries, you know, 5% or something like that, or bigger numbers, and kind of cover our office over here. And there's other things. I know the state did the mandated furloughs 2 days a week, which is basically equal to a 10% cut in pay, it sounds like. So, I mean, it when you start doing things like that, you could probably balance. We're a little more fortunate maybe than sometimes the cities, because we depend a little bit more on property tax than sales tax, even though sales tax is a big number. But our sales tax dollars are looking better than our projections. Because there is if you go outside, I don't know if you've been anywhere in this town, but you can't go anywhere without some sort of construction going on. And right. All that construction takes fuel, takes materials, you know, takes a lot of services that are taxed and non-taxed. And so those things help. And, you know, as long as we can get our tax money from our Amazon and things like that, when we do it, that's an added value. But it's still basically, I still see too many Amazon packages. I know you have to do it sometimes, but please, everyone, shop locally when you can.
Yeah, and you know, maybe that's going to be one of the benefits of this, is people who may not have been as sensitive in the past to where they buy and how they buy, you know, maybe they will start doing things a little bit differently for those items that they can get, rather than just go online all the time.
And I think you better do it now rather than later, while we still have these specialty, because I love it when a business who isn't being maintained or used, and then they go out of business, I get a phone call that says, I can't get my blankety blank fixed. And I says, well, where'd you, I can't buy this in town anymore, so where'd you buy it for? Well, I used to always buy it online, but I need it right now. Well, you know, there you go. I mean, it just our local people, and I know we sing that song a lot, and it's a popular one to ring. But for a kid that was raised in a corner grocery store, buying local was put my two sisters through college, and I don't know what it did for me, but no, it provided for my family. So there's a support your neighbors and your friends.
Well, that's part of it, and you know, I think now because of some of the constraints that have been put into place, there is a social component to shopping also. You know, whether it's at the grocery store or at the retailer or the nursery or wherever it is, whether it's with the staff or just with other patrons, there's a social that goes on. We were at the grocery store last Thursday, and boy, I think I had probably 10 or 12 people that we were talking to, either because of the brace, or we hadn't seen them in a while, or they hadn't talked to us. It was just that's part of our area, part of our part of the community that we have.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, I shop a lot at Murphy's and at Safeways, and I mean, I can't think the last time I ever went in and walked out without talking to a few people. But being right close to the ball fields and everything else, you get, hey, when's baseball, when's soccer, when's football? The kids, people are doing a great job in keeping their kids active, but part of that great job is being able to provide them outliers to go do things. And it's just that I wrote something the other day, and it's not just sports. It's the kids that have a graduation rate or stay in school, the numbers increase double-digit percentage-wise if they're involved with band, if they're involved with glee club, with they're involved with drama, all the other extracurricular activities schools provide. That gives the kids motivation to go to school. So those are the things that they need, that extracurricular stuff.
Yeah, that's part of being together, you know, like it or not, legislated or not, we are social beasts.
No, I mean, that's what a lot of people that don't get a full, you know, 6 years, 5 years, 4 years of higher education after high school do just fine because they're socially adaptable to people and can make it work for them. So, I mean, there's both ways to go. So I put down the devices and get out there and play with your friends is what we've been preaching, and now we're telling them get inside and just stay online. And it just seems to be counterproductive, I think.
How was the experience in trying to deal with the county, whether it's at building and planning or public health or visiting your favorite supervisor? How has that changed? Do we just need to allow more time for those interactions, or is there a difference in how things are being processed also?
Well, I think we have three supervisors on the board that are 65 and older. So some are taking it really, really careful. All of them, I think, are being really, really careful and conscious and trying to, you know, lead. I come into work every day because I'm not that far away, and it's easier for me to work here than I don't feel like I get enough of my work at home. I don't need to work at home too. So it's comfortable with me because my papers are here and stuff. I know some of the other supervisors have set up, and they're farther away. And have set up and are doing just fine out in their districts, getting out and seeing their people, and being able to do everything online. And our Zoom meetings have been challenging, to say the least, because I think we lose a little bit in public comment and things like that. But I noticed that the city of Eureka has gone back to a public meeting the other night, and I'm hopefully we can do that and allow for public comment and being able to allow public comment and still socially distance and keep everybody at a safe level. So yeah, these are things that other counties are doing. We're not going to invent the wheel. I don't think, as a county of 135,000 people, and I don't know if we have to reinvent the wheel, because there's 57 other counties going through the same thing we are. So
I would suspect that your crowds will be a little bit less, and that's probably an okay thing also. So.
Well,
when you get a standing O, it just won't be so many people.
Yeah, I think this is probably a good time for us to actually look at people that feel left out because they've chosen to live remotely but still want to be involved in the process, so they have to drive into a meeting. I think we may find ourselves giving them the avenue to talk on a smart board or on a TV to do their public comment. I think it's going to be a little bit easier on them not having to take 45 minutes, hour and a half, whatever it is, to drive in, speak for their one or two items, and then drive back. They can actually do it online.
I think
have a combination live meeting Zoom type of deal.
I think that probably would increase a lot of variety of commentary rather than just, you know, more of a homogenous approach. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:49. Back for a final taste of Rex this morning. So what else is going on out there, buddy?
Well, we talked, this COVID thing has really put everybody in a downer. And I just want to let everybody know to put on their calendars December 12th. This year's Truckers Parade is going to be on Saturday, December 12th. It's always the second Saturday in December that was set up by the Papstein family and their radio family 33 years ago, 32 years ago. And with their help, we were able to pull it off last year, and we're going to try to do it a little bit better this year, even though last year was great. And I don't think it's too early to be talking about this because people can get ready, but we're gonna have the Truckers Parade again. Boys and Girls Club is going to be the beneficiary, and the parade is going to be dedicated to longtime volunteer throughout the whole community, Dale Bridges. And so I think that's very important to us too. So we're looking forward to that, and I wanted to end this conversation on a high note. I want everybody to be safe, be careful, be kind, wear your mask if you feel comfortable.
You didn't say anything about Go Giants, though.
I am. We're undefeated this year.
Yeah. 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 Are you thinking about buying one of the cutouts so if it gets hit by a foul ball, you get a foul ball? I think that's such a cool idea.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking maybe the Warriors could do the same thing for the front row seats.
Oh. Curry's in your lap. He'll have dinner with you.
There you go. All righty, buddy. Hang in there.
All right. Be safe, everyone.
Thanks. Bye-bye.